Welcome to the One Wyoming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. You can follow me on X at @by_RyanThorburn. Make sure you go to gowyo.com for all my coverage of the Cowboys and Cowgirls. Speaking of the Cowboys, our guest today is Cole Henry, senior forward for the Pokes. Cole, you've lived in Laredice for about 8 months, but it feels like you're a Wyoming Cowboy. How would you describe this last journey with your final team, the Wyoming Cowboys, this year?
Much fun, man. I'm just having a blast out here. And, you know, I came out here in June, and, you know, I can't believe that it's, you know, we're coming down to the final wire here. You know, it's sad for me because I really do love this place. And I've built so many great relationships with my teammates, my coaches. I go out in the community, and the fans are so supportive through the wins and the losses. You know, I'm getting lots of love out here. So, yeah, I love Laredice, and I truly wish that I was able to spend some more years here, to be honest with you. But my last season so far has just been an incredible experience for me.
Well, welcome to our luxurious podcast studio. We have Kevin McKinney here also. Kevin, what's it been like watching Cole kind of lead this team? It's, you know, 9-10 new guys, and he's really elevated his leadership.
Well, you know, we all talk about his maturity, and, you know, there's just some guys that are more mature than others, and they're better leaders than others. And this guy happens to be one of those guys, one of my very favorites. And I just wish he could have been here for 4 or 5 years or six or however how many Maldo is here. It would have been a lot of fun to watch him grow into the program and be a Cowboy. But he would have been one of those guys that would have been one of the great Cowboys had he been here all those years. He's been fantastic. In just 1 year, it's been great to get to know him. And, you know, it's just one of those things, and we'll talk about it. I want to ask him, it's just the new landscape of basketball, of college sports in general, that we don't have guys for as many years as we used to. And that's a really unfortunate thing for people like us who really get to know these kids and get to understand what they're all about.
Well, Cole, you're part Cowboy, but you're mostly Mr. Iowa. You're an Iowan. Tell us about growing up in Oskaloosa, Iowa. Your dad is a college basketball coach. I know, obviously, you played at Northern Iowa before you came to Wyoming. Just what was life like in rural Iowa?
You know, I had an incredible childhood. I did. Basketball has kind of been the center of my life since I was a baby. My dad got the William Penn University job when I was, I think, a newborn, and he's been there ever since. So I've been growing up in and out of a locker room my entire life. I've seen some incredible guys come through, and I've learned so much about the game and being a leader, and I know what it takes to win. And, you know, I won a state title in high school. I grew up fishing, hunting, doing all the things that an Iowa kid does, but I also had some opportunities to expand my game at Northern Iowa. I was a program guy for Northern Iowa. I played there for 5 seasons. And, you know, I was kind of, honestly, I was kind of pushed out. Like, it was like my fifth year, and they wanted to use my scholarship elsewhere, which is totally okay. And, you know, thank God I did, because it gave me the opportunity to come here and, you know, to end my career as a Cowboy. And I'm so happy that it happened. Like he said, I really do wish that I could have came here earlier, because this is a great place. I mean, the only thing that I've always said that's different between Wyoming and Iowa is there's more mountains instead of cornfields, you know. So I love it out here. I really do. It's, you got fishing, you got hunting, you got great people. So yeah, my childhood in Iowa was awesome.
You know, we had a chance to play at Northern Iowa a couple times. That's right. Once in the Dome. Now they have their own facility,
that's
which
right.
is great. But good program, very solid. They were first class all the way, and a very good program.
Yeah, for sure. I played you guys actually 3 years ago. It was my first career start in Hawaii. It was the first time that I was ever truly manhandled in college by Graham E.K. That guy, I didn't know true strength until I played him.
And you weren't the only one, Cole.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times. He gave me 3 quick fouls in the first half, and it was a tough game for us. That you guys handled us well. Yeah.
Yeah, I was living in the Pacific Northwest when Larry Nance and those guys went to the NCAA tournament. I took my daughter up to Seattle. Northern Iowa beat Wyoming. Larry Nance Jr.'s last game. Ben Jacobson's a hell of a coach. Your dad, John Henry, obviously long time NAIA coach. How do you take, I know you want to be a coach, I imagine you take a piece from your dad, or maybe several pieces from your dad, something from Ben Jacobson. And where does Sundance and this staff kind of fit into that? How much have you learned about coaching?
That's a great question. I've had so many great coaches in my life. I played football in high school too. And my head football coach, I take pieces from him as well. My dad, obviously, you know, I love him a lot. And him and Sundance have a lot of things in common with their fiery attitudes, you know, get the most out of the guys, being, you know, very vocal. Ben Jacobson was more of a stoic character, and obviously a tremendous coach. Been to several NCAA tournaments, won some conference championships. We won two when I was there. So, I take the bits and pieces of both of them for sure. And so especially Sundance, I mean, him being my last coach, I'm going to probably remember more about what his coaching style is. And I've learned so much from him. And his offensive mind as well is something that really sticks with me, because I love offense. Defense is great, you know, it wins championships. But Sonny's offensive mind and the way that he's able to draw plays up on the fly and come in every single day with a new offensive scheme. And obviously, you know, his attitude, his juice that he brings to every single day. I'm going to take that with me forever.
What is your dad's style, would you say? How would you describe it?
I would say it's Sonny's style, but a little bit more relaxed. I mean, Sonny is obviously the extreme when it comes to crazy attitude and crazy energy, right? I'd say my dad was more like that when I was younger, when he was younger. Now he's a little bit more laid back, but yeah, he's an old school coach. I mean, he's been at the same place for a long time. He's had opportunities to move up in the ranks as well, but you know, he just loves Iowa and he loves the hometown of Oskaloosa.
Do you have his personality, would you say?
I would say so. Yeah. My mom would hear this podcast and say otherwise, cause you know, she loves to take some of the credit. And, I would say my dad's personality for sure. I've got his voice, his face and everything. So yeah, for sure. I would say I've got more of my dad's qualities.
When you went into the transfer portal, you were originally going to go with Sundance, Pat Monahan, to Green Bay. Obviously, late in the cycle, they get the Wyoming job. They put together this roster on the fly in May, when normally you do it in March, or you already have a bunch of signees, obviously, from the previous November. What's it been like to have this collection come together? Because it's everybody's from different backgrounds. I know you live with Jay Nez and Obi. You know, Nesbitt comes from St. Louis. He's had to go through a lot of adversity in his life. Obi had to play D2, and obviously he's clearly D1 and above material the way he's scoring in the Mountain West. What's it been like? Because I know there's been a lot of ups and downs, and it's a roller coaster to get everyone on the same page, the chemistry. A lot of guys, it's their last chance. And others, you know, we're hoping to keep here and develop. But what's that whole puzzle pieces coming together been like for you?
It's been a crazy experience. I mean, even from the beginning, when I entered the transfer portal, I had no idea what it was going to be like for me. I think last year I averaged 3 points. I was playing 11 minutes a game. Honest to God, I was totally expecting in my head to play for my dad, my last season to go play for him. And growing up, that's what I thought I was going to do. I didn't know I was going to grow to 6'9". I mean, my parents aren't that tall, so my whole life, I thought I was going to put on a William Penn jersey. So when the transfer portal happened, the first minute that I was able to receive calls, Pat Monahan called me at Green Bay. And I was like, holy cow, D1, you know, school. And then I was fortunate to have a few, like 15 other schools call me, and I didn't have any idea that was going to happen. And I narrowed it down between Drake and Green Bay. And again, you guys know that I'm engaged, and my fiance is in Iowa. So the decision between Drake in Iowa and Green Bay, 6 hours away, was very tough. But after my visit to Green Bay, it was not tough. I mean, I met those guys in that coach's office right there, and it was a done deal for me. So I committed to Green Bay the next day after my visit. And 2 days later, I was getting ready to go to church with my fiance, and I see my phone, Sundance Wicks accepts job to Wyoming. And I swear to God, guys, I thought I was going to go play for my dad again. There's no way he wants me to go with him to the Mountain West Conference. Like, I've never shown that I was able to do that. I had confidence in myself, but he called me, and the first thing he said was, I'm just going to get out of the way. I want you to be a Cowboy. You all in? And I just broke down crying. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. I'm going to play in the Pit. I'm going to play, you know, Boise State. This is so incredible. And I was all in, man. And then when after that, you know, I heard that Jay Nez was coming, Scotty was coming. And, you know, he told me, because I want to be a coach, he knew that. He told me the process was so difficult because he had like 17 days, 18 days to get this roster together. And I think he did as good a job as anybody getting the talent that he could. you know, Obi had committed before this, but then he, you know, he was reconsidering and he was able to come back because of Sonny's recruitment on him, which is huge for us, right? So yeah, Sonny did the best job he could in getting this roster finalized, and you know, I'm just so grateful that he was able to give me the opportunity and honestly give me the confidence that I could come in here and step into the role that he envisioned for me. Because without him, I don't think I would have envisioned that for myself.
We want to hear about your fiance, but did she cry along with you as you were coming to Wyoming?
You know, it was bittersweet for her, for yeah. sure, because she knew my dreams and she knew my aspirations. And the reasoning behind going to Green Bay over Drake in the beginning was, I mean, Ben McCollum's an incredible coach at Drake, obviously, you know, stepping in, they're undefeated in conference, right? But I wanted to learn everything I could on how to be the best basketball coach for my future career. And Sundance Wicks was that option for me. Not only that, but he did have the confidence that I could be a great player. So that was with the decision with that. But yeah, it was bittersweet for her because
yeah.
I mean, I'm far away and she, you know, long distance is tough. We've been able to make it perfect. You know, she's been able to come visit me a few times. So it's been perfect.
Tell us about her, how you met, all that kind of
thing.
She's
way out of my league. Let's just start with that.
You overachieved.
I mean, she's beautiful. Yeah, I met her at UNI. We met at a gathering and you know, it was like there was a spotlight on her. And, you know, the typical romance story. I walked
awesome.
Up, said hello, and the rest is history, yeah.
What's her name and when is the ceremony?
Her name is Allie Day, Alexandra Day, and August 16th is when we're getting married back in Iowa.
What is life like knowing that you've got 2, 3, 4 weeks, who knows how long, of basketball left? As we're winding down the Mountain West regular season schedule here, and that you have this future bride waiting for you and that you want to get into coaching, are you at peace? Are you stressed? How would you describe what's going on?
I would say it's a comfortable level of stress. All right. Like, who knows what the future holds, right, for me. But so far in my life, when there's things that, you know, like the transfer portal, I entered on a whim. I had no idea what's going to happen, and it all worked out. I'm a religious man. So, you know, I put my trust in God, and I think it's all going to work out. You know, nothing bad can happen. If something bad happens, I go home, coach with my dad, you know, live his life, my beautiful bride. It'll all work out, right? But no, I'm excited. It's very bittersweet. I don't want my season to end. I wish I could restart and do it all over. My body is breaking down, though, for sure. And I know she's waiting for me at home, and we want to be together. So it's bittersweet.
You know, you have such an interesting perspective, Cole, because you are a mature guy, number one, but you want to be a coach, and you've been involved in a coaching family all these years. The model that we have in college athletics now is not good. We all know that. It doesn't seem to be getting fixed. And I'm curious, from the perspective of a student athlete, and everybody would agree you need to be paid. There's no argument there. But the model sucks. And so what can college athletics do, from a perspective of a student athlete who's been through it and who wants to be a coach? What can be done? I mean, I know there's a lot of smart people talking about it, but they don't seem to be getting anywhere. What's your take on it?
Well, I have an interesting perspective on it, because I've been in college where, when I started college, my first 2 years, I was only getting a stipend, right? I was before the NIL period. I've been in both. I've been mm-hmm. in the period where it's the old days, when you got a stipend and that's how you paid for your food and your rent. And then I've also been able to play my last few years with NIL. And my NIL isn't crazy. It wasn't crazy at UNI. It isn't crazy here. But I'm able to buy steaks now. You know, mm-hmm. back at UNI, I was, you know, going to the cafeteria and buying ramen because money was tight on that stipend. But so, yeah, I appreciate getting paid more. But at the same time, you know, from a fan perspective, from a coaching perspective, you win with teams that are form that chemistry for years, right? Mm-hmm. Like the championship teams that I played on, AJ Green was our best player. He could have left after his first Larry Bird Player of the Year and gone to the NBA, but he stayed mm-hmm. because he wanted to win another one, and we won that year. You know, I think that loyalty to your team, you know, I think that's huge, and we need to find a way to get kids to stay. And, you know, they just kind of bounce around teams. You know, Jordan Nesbitt is an example, but his is a little bit different. This is his fourth team, right, in college basketball. And there are guys out there that play for five different teams because their money keeps climbing. And, you know, they have a good season in the Mountain West, then they go to the ACC, and then they have a good season, and they end up Big 12, right? And as a coach later, I, you know, that'll tear me apart if I recruit a kid hard and he comes in as a freshman, has a great season, and bounces. You know, that's terrible.
Graham Ike was our example of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And, you know, Graham Ike is making mega money, and I'm sure that changed his life, right? So I have that perspective from a player where, like, you know, you're going to make money, you're changing your life. I know he doesn't have, his mom doesn't have to work anymore because of the money that he has. But at the same time, man, that loyalty that you have, fan bases really appreciate that. And, you know, I've heard some theories on how to change that, like with contracts. And I think if you add contracts into that, you're just a professional basketball player at that point. And, you know, I really am not sure yet, because I haven't had the coaching experience on what it's like to recruit a kid and have him leave and have those ideas thrown at you on what, how to change it yet. But as a player who's gone through both the old school way and the new school way, we appreciate the new money. But I have also seen that, you know, teams that have players stay are the ones that end up winning national championships. And I think we need to get back to that somehow.
You know, not to mention the academic end of it. It's going to be more and more difficult for
sure.
People to graduate, for crying out loud.
For sure. And I'll add to that, like, I was able to get my undergrad at UNI, and some players are bouncing around and they have to change their majors every time they go because some schools don't have it and they never get their degree. Mm-hmm. And if they don't make it to the pros, you know, when they're done with their eligibility, then, you know, they don't have an education. You know what I mean? And that's a problem for a lot, like thousands of students mm-hmm. that hope to make it to the pros and then they don't. Or they do for a few years, and then they come back to the real world, and they don't have a degree, you know. And in the world we live in now, degrees are important for sure. So yeah.
Well, I love Sonny's attitude about just everything, but his attitude about the portal I think is refreshing. I know when a Graham EK crushes it here and moves up to a top five program like Gonzaga, that Sundance is just happy for the guy, even though it's painful for sure. The fan base for sure. But on the other, you know, side of it, Wyoming gets to add guys like Obi Agbim, who Fort Lewis College probably misses dearly, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
so it moves both ways. I think, what would be your advice to guys who maybe aren't at the Graham EK level, but are younger players here, in terms of, is it better to go chase a little bit of money, or is it better just to stay put and grind and maybe win a championship at a Wyoming? It's tough to tell people financially what to do, but I mean, unless you're a Graham EK, I think stability probably trumps, you know, a little tiny pay raise.
I completely agree. And one thing I would say is just, it just kind of depends on what your priorities are. If your priorities are correct and you come in here and you want to win a Mountain West championship for the Cowboys, you will have that success that you want to see. I mean, there are NIL opportunities in Laramie and outside of it, Cheyenne as well. And if we win a conference tournament and we go to the NCAA tournament, there's going to be NBA scouts on you. So if that's your priority, you want to make it the NBA, you can do it here. But if your priority is to make the most money you can, there's going to be opportunities there too. Like Graham EK, you dominate here. The whole world is watching the Mountain West basketball. So you're going to have those opportunities as well. And that's the world we live in. I mean, we almost have to accept it at this point, but if there's a young player that comes here and dominates, I would stress them to stay. I would, because you have all the opportunities in the world to make it to the NBA and higher, and whatever you want to do right here at Wyoming for sure.
You know, Cole, I think about, as I look at you, a 6'9 quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd have been healthier if you'd have stayed a quarterback?
No way. Not a chance. Just like here, man, I'm telling you, something happens to me every competition I have. I mean, whether it was baseball as a kid, I'd break my hand. I broke my hand shadow pitching in my room. I was doing like a pitching routine, and I was shadow pitching with nothing, and I hit my hand on my cabinet or my bed frame, broke my hand. Like, it's just clumsy stuff like that I've been doing my whole life. But yeah, quarterback, broken ribs, concussions and stuff. Like, it wasn't ideal. I was probably better at quarterback, to be honest with you, but I just did not want to, you know, end up 10 years down the road
in traction.
Yeah, exactly. My mother, it was tearing her apart watching me just get hit, blind spot, you know. So I chose basketball. But yeah, football was fun.
Well, I'm sure you're learning a lot about maybe becoming a medical doctor, because you right now have a joint that I've never even heard of that you're dealing with. You have UCL in your right arm you're dealing with, even though you know, you were not, was clearly not a foul. You have a black eye from New Mexico.
No foul, man.
How are you feeling? Because you looked great the other night at against Air Force, 16 points, three dunks. You guys were up against it at halftime, really big win to get some momentum going. How do you feel about physically finishing this off and the state of mind of the team after that win?
Yeah, my body's breaking down, I'll be honest with you. I'm getting, you know, I'm sore every single day, and Air Force was probably the worst I've felt so far, actually. But you know, when we start getting down by 10, your adrenaline, honestly, I was really pissed off, which kind of numbs pain if you haven't noticed. So yeah, you know, if I'm able to get in that mindset where I'm just upset and adrenalized, the pain kind of goes away. And that's kind of what I've been leaning on lately. But yeah, I've been with the doctors. I've worked. We have a great medical staff here. Unbelievable staff. Dallas, our trainer, has been awesome with me, and I'm working with him every day. But yeah, the mood after the win was great. Like I said, we're building momentum. And I know Air Force has had a down year, but any win is good win in the Mountain West, for sure. By 1 or 100 is what my dad would say. So yeah, the momentum that we got from that game, we're looking to take into this week and next week, and you know, carry that into March.
You know, you are the epitome of tough, cowboy tough, and you've played with a lot of injuries and issues. Do you think the college kids are not as tough anymore?
Yeah, I don't think they are. I'll be completely honest with you. Because like I said, I've grown up with a college coach as my dad, so I've seen kids play through, men play through some injuries, and I don't think they're as tough as they used to be, and I think that's kind of the culture of the world now.
Yeah,
I think with social media and you know, I think our level of laziness has risen for our kids today, and not to get all political and stuff, but I think that's a big thing right now. Like, kids they don't think it's cool to play through stuff anymore. They think it's cool to be injured almost. Like, the way I grew up, like, if you were injured, it wasn't cool. You're out. Like, you know, you're not being able to compete.
It was so embarrassing.
It was embarrassing, yeah. Right? And now it's like, oh, he's injured. So now they get coddled and they're, oh, it's okay, you know? And that wasn't the way I grew up, man. My dad was like, you know, if you're able to throw that baseball with that broken hand, play it.
You're
going to do it, right? So, yeah.
Are you going to have a hard time with that as a coach?
I don't know. Maybe. It'll be something to deal with. But, you know, that again comes back to recruiting. What type of kids do you recruit? Do you recruit tough kids, right? And that's what Sonny said the other night. You want to build a program around kids that want to play through stuff. And obviously injuries are part of the game. You don't want them to happen. You pray they don't. But if they do, you want to be able to play through that. And that's what builds cowboy tough. And, you know, people are drawn to that. And honestly, when your teammates see that, like Mattia Belich, he really rolled his ankle. I know he was, you know, he's mm-hmm. dramatic with it, but if you saw it after the game, it was huge.
Yeah.
He was able to come in and hit a huge three in the second half. And, you know, when our teammates see that, when I see that, it kind of gives that boost of toughness to the whole team. So it's a valuable trait to have is toughness when you're recruiting kids. And I think that's what I'll have to do as a coach later.
The other night, Sundance's theme was competitive resilience.
Yep.
You guys had a rough border war, historically one of the roughest border wars. But I think a lot of that game has to do with you were coming off the New Mexico game. That's the fifth time you've basically lost a heartbreaker to one of the top three teams in the Mountain West. I don't know if there was a hangover, and I know with all new players, I mean, me and Kevin have watched the border war our whole lives, so of course we're into every border war. Is that hard when it's new players and it's their last year to realize what the history of a rivalry is? Because Sundance kind of alluded to that. You know, he gets fired up for it, of course, being a Wyoming guy. But is it hard to, you know, learn the history of a rivalry in 1 year?
Yeah, it is. It really is. And the first time we played him, he showed us the history. And I had learned about it. I knew that the Wyoming and CSU rivalry was huge. Even before you and I knew that was a big deal. I'm big into rivalries. So I knew what the game was at stake. And the first time we played him, coach showed us the last three games and the crazy moments and the history behind all of it. And so we had an idea, but I think like you said, it's tough to kind of build that in the new guys and kind of show them what this rivalry really means. You can say it's a rivalry, but you don't really know, unless you've experienced it a few years, what it means. And we walked into that arena that night, and you could see it in the fans' faces, because the CSU guys, a lot of those guys have been around for a while. Nick Clifford's played in a few of them. Memba's played in a few of them. So, yeah, that team was ready. And, you know, I just think we got punched in the mouth and didn't respond that night. And it's really unfortunate. I wish I could have that one back big time.
I want to talk a little bit about your home life pre-Alley.
Yeah.
You've got these two roommates. You know, are they – Are they? How does that go? I have a feeling. Now, I just have a feeling. You're the one that keeps the house clean. You're the one that cooks, and the other two guys. I'm not sure what they do, but talk a little bit about having roommates like that. And can you get away from basketball when you have, you know, roommates who play?
Yeah, Obi and Nez, they're great roommates. They are. I definitely take the trash out. I definitely do the dishes, but then again, I'm really the only one that has dishes. They like to DoorDash. They don't like to cook. So we've got a lot of McDonald's and Arby's bags sitting around because they DoorDashed them, right? Last night I made a steak and potatoes, and
there you go.
And OB walked out. He's like, "What you cooking?" I'm like, "Big old steak, man." He's like, "Okay." Walks to the door, grabs his Domino's pizza. So we got different priorities, I guess, when it comes to nutrition, maybe. But no, it's great. Like I said, we always hang out. We got a big old TV in the living room. We watch games together. We kick it. You know, it's good. We play video games together. So yeah, it's everything that I wanted. My roommates, they're great. They are.
I was curious if you cook fish for those guys. Yeah. And they like it.
They won't eat it. Yeah. They don't like the way it smells. I love my favorite food is fried fish.
Oh, I know it is.
Love it. It's so great. But I cook some for Court and Kobe. They have their own spot. They loved it. Yeah, they were able to try it. But Jordan Nesbitt, I'll say something about him. I cannot believe he is built the way that he is. The way that he eats is crazy because it's chicken strips and fries. That's it. He'll mix in a pepperoni pizza every once in a while, but there's no red meat, nothing else. I mean, it's chicken strips and fries. So, like, the way that he's been able to build muscle, he's gained, like, 15 pounds this year with Jimmy. It's unbelievable to me. There's no way I could be built like that on some chicken strips and fries.
He was at the coach's show last night.
Yeah.
Chicken strips.
I'm telling you. At a steakhouse.
It's unbelievable in a place that has steaks all over.
Yeah.
And he acted like he'd never heard of asparagus until you made him eat some asparagus.
Yeah, I love asparagus
he
too.
He didn't know what it was called there. He said, "What do you call that stuff?"
Yeah. I make asparagus every once in a while, and I'm like, "Jordan, this is really good for you. You know, eat some vegetables, bro." I know, and it's not chicken soup fries, but you need some vegetables in your life.
Yeah. He's a character.
Speaking of Jaynez, I mean, I think coming out of high school, he was a top 100 recruit.
Yeah.
Goes to Memphis. Like I mentioned, he's had some really tough stuff happen to him. His last stop, Hampton, he was just, you know, putting up points, scoring. Sundance is having him do a completely different type of basketball. He's your rebounder, your top rebounder. He guards the other team's best player. He's basically shut down Ethan Taylor twice, Air Force's best player, 0-7 the other night. I know after the game, Sundance was riding the emotions and asked about the standard. And when he mentioned you and Jaynez, he got a little choked up. What's it been like to see Jaynez buy in? Because I think when you three roommates are on, Obi obviously hit the big three when it was tied late. When you three guys are on, you guys can beat anyone.
It's awesome to see Jordan Nesbitt, his development and his maturity over the year to be able to accept this role fully. It's great. I played him at St. Louis. We played in the NIT. We beat them. And I think he was a sophomore as well. And, you know, he was asked to shoot and score and not guard the best player. But here it's completely different. You know, get 8 rebounds a game, guard the best player. That's a tough role for somebody, and especially somebody that's been known to score more. Like you said, top 100 recruit, went to Memphis. And he comes here and his role is completely different than what he expected. And he's taking it with stride, man. He's a tough guy too, really. I mean, like I said, he's gone through some unspeakable things in his life, and to be able to be resilient through all that and still come out the other side as a competitive guy and a great teammate, great friend. Jordan Nesbitt, nobody makes me crack up more than him on the team, and I love that kid, man. He's a really good guy. And him being able to accept this role and listen to Sonny's advice, and he's helped me a lot with the leadership duties, getting after people. He's easily our most vocal guy in practice, talking on defense, talking afterwards, dapping people up, you know, being a great teammate. Jordan Nesbitt deserves the world for sure.
You know, it's always been so much about teammates. And it's interesting to me that you're together 1 year, but I would assume that you'll be in contact with these guys maybe for the rest of your life, even though you were only here a year. That's amazing to me.
It is. It really is. They're all coming to my wedding 100%. Like, I've known them for less than a year, and these guys, I'll always keep up with them for sure. I think we all kind of had the same experience. We all had 1 year left, you know, Dante, Obi, Nez, you know, we all, and there's many more, we all just came together with a common goal, end our careers the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And when y'all come together as with a common goal, to try and win and have a good season for your last season, you build that brothership, that brotherhood quicker. And we've been able to do that from the jump. I mean, the first day I got to campus, me, all the roommates, me, Obi, and Nez went to Applebee's and just, we ate our food and sat there for 2 more hours, just talking, get to know each other, you know, and it was incredible because I mean, me and Nez, we have completely different life experiences, yeah. Completely different life experiences. And we're still brothers. We're still able to connect. And I show him new things. He shows me new things. And, you know, we're able to build new experiences and educate each other on life. And it's just great. I love those guys.
The beauty about college basketball is every team, 370, whatever there are, Division I teams, can all win the national championship.
Yep.
Is it realistic for some? No, it's 0.00001%. But
right.
If you win the Mountain West tournament, you have 6 games to win the national championship.
That's right.
That's what makes the sport beautiful. Speaking of that, your previous 5 games was one of the toughest stretches of any Mountain West team of the year with who you played, where you played them. Air Force starts your last 5-game stretch. Mm-hmm. I know Sundance tries to break it up into these 5-game stretches. He said this lines up to be a great stretch for Wyoming. San Jose State on Saturday. That's all you'll focus on. But after that, you're at Nevada, which is a team you guys beat. San Diego State has to come to altitude. We know how close you were to beating them at Viejas. And then you wrap it up at Fresno State, a team you guys have beaten. How important is it to not wait until Las Vegas, where it's do or die, but to get rolling into Vegas?
It's huge. I mean, the teams that win conference tournaments are the ones that build this momentum. And you want to build it early and just carry it all the way through the season. And then when you hit March, you're at your peak and you're playing your best basketball. Those are the teams that win conference tournaments, win games in the NCAA tournament. So we're trying to get to that level. And like you said, this 5-game stretch is great for us. You know, it's an opportunity to play teams that we have beaten, teams that hate coming here. San Diego State hates coming to Laredice, as shown by their record here and their social medias. They hate it. I've learned all about that. So we're excited to play them here. But yeah, and then also on top of that, we have a bye week right after our last regular season game. We have a full week to get rested, get healthy, and get prepared for our first round game in Vegas. And as you know, we like that gym. We beat UNLV in that gym. So we have that as well. So yeah, it's going to be a really good end of the season, and we're looking forward to it.
You know, I can't imagine you being in my living room recruiting my kid because he'd be going.
Yeah.
When you now, as you've picked up all these things you're talking about and you're recruiting, what's going to be your style, and, you know, what are you going to be, how are you going to sell the deal?
You know, man, it's going to be a mix of all the coaches that I've had, put them all together and see what the product comes out. I haven't been a coach quite yet, but I think I'll be able to sell people on my relatability. I think that's a big thing for me as a recruit. I wanted a coach that called me and said, "What's up, man? What are you doing?" Pat Monahan called me every day, asked me what I'm doing. I could be out in the middle of nowhere fishing with low reception. You catching any? You know, you know, like that. The friend is being a friend is a huge thing. Nobody wants to play for a coach anymore that is just riding you all the time, and you're scared of him anymore. You know, and the Bob Knights of the world are incredible. He was able to win great things. He was one of my heroes coaching wise. But one thing I took from my dad is you want to be friends with the guys too. You want them to come to practice not having an anxiety level of, I wonder if coach is going to, you know, talk to me today, talk to me. So I want to recruit kids that want to be friends with me as well. Me and Sundance Wicks have a real friendship. Like,
yeah,
I had to order some contacts for my eyes, and I didn't want them to mess up the address. So I sent them to his house, you know, and I'll go pick them up later. And then I love his kids. I love his wife. So that friendship is what I'm going to sell it on. Obviously I want you to come in and play basketball for whatever school I'm coaching at, but you know, I want to know that this kid is a good kid and we relate, and you know, it's all going to work out. That's what I'm going to coach like.
Well, Cole, thanks for joining the podcast.
Yeah. Awesome.
We really enjoyed it. I have no doubt you'll be successful coaching. Someday you'll be back on the staff with Wicks or replace him when he retires or whatever, cause you're going to kill it. But thanks so much, and good luck down this stretch run. I think it's going to be highly entertaining, and I think you have something special for some of these teams. I really don't think New Mexico or Utah State or even San Diego State wants to see you guys in Vegas.
Nobody wants to see us, man. We're a team that can beat anybody on any given night. We scare teams, and that was the goal from the beginning. And like I said, if we hit our stride here in the last 2 weeks of the season, look out, because if we really get to our peak, we could do some damage in March, and that's what I hope to do.
All right.
Wyoming loves you, boy.
I love Wyoming. I really do. I mean that when I say it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Go Pokes.
Welcome back to the One Wyoming podcast. Ryan Thorburn here, and I'm pleased to welcome Joe Hansen, the general manager of the Wyo Sports Ranch. Joe, first of all, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. Love to talk about the sports ranch and all the fun stuff we got going on.
Joe, I haven't been up to Casper to look at this place quite yet, but I watched the video the Casper Star Tribune did of the grand opening. And, you know, I used to cover the Oregon Ducks, and this facility looks like something Phil Knight would have come up with. It looks really cool. Can first of all, just describe the facility. I know it has room for 10 basketball courts and 20 volleyball courts and soccer fields and football camps and everything. Just describe, I guess, how this came together and what it's like to be in there.
Yeah, of course. So it's a 130,000 plus square foot facility. Really anything you can imagine we can do in it. It's really built for the community, for the community. The biggest need that Casper and frankly Wyoming needs is facilities like this for use to grow, learn, develop. So to your point, we do have 10 basketball courts. Six of those are permanent, which in turn is 12 volleyball courts. And on the other side of our facility, we have a turf area big enough for four short-sided soccer fields or a big 99 soccer field as well, which you can also do flag football, you know, grass volleyball. The sky's really the limit with this facility. And on top of all that, we also have a sports performance area. We have some of the coolest advent technology in our lobby. Basically, it's these giant video boards. So you can do really anything with those as well. You could do conferences, you can do trade shows. The sky is really the limit.
Obviously, one cool thing about this, or maybe the coolest thing about this, is it's a nonprofit. You know, Trudy McMurray Holdhouse has, and the Murray McMurray Foundation continues to push forward, you know, pay it forward, I guess, is kind of their philosophy mm-hmm. on things. Can you just talk about Trudy's impact on Casper with this facility? I know she is honored by the Boys and Girls Club and a lot of stuff up there, but you know, we see it every day around here with the construction going on with War Memorial Stadium and their contribution to that project. And this is another one that's going to impact the state, because a lot of kids and parents and teams from around the state are going to gather there quite frequently.
Yep. And not only for the state, for the region, this facility is so unique and big that you could do so many things, regional tournaments, anything, the sky's the limit. And Trudy's been a huge, awesome impact on getting this facility. It's really the community too that stood behind it. She's been a big player to really conceive the idea. But the support from the community to fund this, there's been tons of donations to really make this happen. So it's truly incredible. And the economic impact that comes from this, not only just the community development that we can have, but the economic impact from hosting giant tournaments during weekends and getting people familiar with Casper, getting people in here spending money. That's really what's going to be game-changing for the state of Wyoming and the city of Casper.
Yeah, and the board of directors includes a lot of really high-level people. Joe Legursky's yep. on there. I know that Joe and Trudy sat down in a coffee shop in Laramie and kind of mapped out, you know, what this should look like what athletes like, what, you know, fans would like, and mapped it all out. I know it recently opened, but so far, how is it functioning? I imagine it's pretty remarkable for the kids that have already used it.
It's been incredible, and it's an incredible blessing, like I said, for the city of Casper. We've already hosted 3 different tournaments with 60 plus teams, 2 of those being volleyball tournaments, 1 being a basketball tournament. We've also partnered with Casper College for a camp. We've hosted a flag football tournament as well. And we're only, 30, 40 days since opening. We also have our own internal club volleyball program. And we have about 250 girls signed up. So it's truly incredible. We've probably had at least 10,000 people come to this facility month one. And we're right around a little over 1 million for the economic impact. So it's just the beginning. We haven't even really touched certain areas, and that's just going to continue to grow. So as we grow, we want to grow with the community. So we're still trying to figure out the needs and wants of what people want to see in this facility, because the sky truly is the limit. So it's just the beginning.
Well, coming up here shortly, March 1st and 2nd, we're going to be sending some cowboys and cowgirls up there for camps, football, volleyball, soccer, and then Joe Ligursky's also doing a basketball camp. Caden Anderson, Harrison Whaley, John Michael Gillenborg are among the football players headed up there. First of all, is that sold out at this point? And if not, how can people sign up for that?
We do still have tickets and some registrations available. So if you go to the Wild Sports Ranch website, you go to our events, and then you go to the YO Sports Festival, YO Sports Ranch Festival. You can also look on our socials. We made a post as recent as yesterday about registration and how to register. The camp will be going on Saturday and Sunday, March 1st and 2nd. The 1st, we will have UW football and volleyball, the head coach and players doing clinics there. We'll have 2 sessions, 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon. And then on Sunday, we will have basketball and soccer as the primary focus. And the awesome thing with Saturday is we'll actually be hosting a UW volleyball game against LCCC. That'll be Saturday night at 4:30. So all the kids that do register for the festival will get in for free. Any additional tickets can be purchased. That can be found on our website as well. It'll be $10 for 11 and up, and then $5 for 10 and under.
Yeah, what's that going to be like to see, the cowboys and cowgirls up there with the youth? Because I know growing up in Wyoming myself without any professional sports, when you are a kid, you look up to those student athletes. And, this is going to be a cool partnership.
It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. And one of the things we did accomplish last month as well, on top of everything else, we actually had Ron Harper, a 5-time NBA champion, run a small camp clinic before one of our basketball tournaments. And on top of that, we also had Kerry Walsh Jennings, a multiple gold medal beach volleyball player, run a camp as well before one of our volleyball tournaments. And just seeing, these kids look up to these people. Some of them are, a little older. Kids can't relate to them as much as parents can. So being able to have UW and some of these kids that grew up in, cities like Casper, being able to have them run a camp and make that impact on the kids that are here is going to be truly special. And that's what the facility is all about, creating those special moments for those kids so they can continue to look and shoot for the stars and hopefully be, on that UW team 5-10 years from now, running the camp for us too as well.
Yeah, I think the possibilities with this facility are really endless because it looks like mm-hmm. a remarkable thing. I don't know how many of these are at this level around the country, but I would imagine in the West, this is going to be a big attraction. And you've already attracted, some professional athletes to come and help out kids. So that's what do you see as kind of the future of this thing? You mentioned the regional aspect of it.
Yep. I mean, like I said, to your point, the sky is truly the limit. It's understanding and establishing, what that looks like. This facility is, it's so unique to the region and there's nothing like it. So we can get creative on what we do regionally. The Ford Wyoming Center right across from us does a lot of the state championships. So we want to be able to amplify that and do things regionally, across the country. We have a few tournaments coming up in the next few months with rights holders that are from Florida, from other places across the country. So we're going to not only impact the region and the state, we're going to be bringing kids here from all across the country. So to be truly special, just to put Casper on the map and create some of that economic impact along with it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining the One Wyoming podcast, Joe. We appreciate it, and good luck with everything. And you know, looking forward to seeing how sending up the Cowboys and Cowgirls next month.
Yeah, can't wait. Thanks for having me, and looking forward to seeing everybody up here at the facility.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning into this episode. It was a lot of fun to have Cole Henry from Wyoming basketball on. Big game on Saturday against San Jose State, 2 p.m., and there's going to be some big news during that game that you'll want to stay tuned for regarding the 2025 Wyoming Hall of Fame class. Also, thanks to Joe Hansen, general manager of Sports Ranch, just an incredible facility in Casper that Wyoming athletes will be working with the youth of our state in. Make sure you subscribe at Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you next week.